prepared a learning tribute for Refuah Shlema for Hana Bela Bas Helka, for Shalom Ben Shoshana Chana, for
Chaya.
For who?
Chaya.
Oh, Chaya Gittel Fegel Bas Bela Bluma.
Yeah, no, I thought you were saying someone else.
Neshama Tehila Bas Chana.
Neshama Tehila Bas Chana. Soch Shar Chol Yisrael. Okay, so Asem is Parshas Mitzora, Tavshin Ayin Dalet.
Oh. Is
sure, so Asem is Parshas Mitzora, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. Okay, let's look at a piece from Tavresh Lamites, 1879. The earlier part of the Svasemis' career. So Svasemis says as follows. V'pasam ki tzavo v'nasati nega v'chulu. Person's going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a nega on the bayis. There's going to be an affliction on the home. And of course, you remember Rashi. Person's going to take apart the house. He's going to find treasures buried in the wall. It's a big question. What exactly is the nature of these negun? Some Rishonim understand that the nega on the bayis is a nega. It's a bad thing. Have it to have a little present in disguise. There's a gift that you find in the wall. Others say, no, the nega was really not necessarily generated by a bad thing, and it was dafka so that they would take apart their houses and find this treasure on the inside. But either way, it's very strange, this idea that there's a nega, there's an appearance of tzaras on the wall of one's home, and then you take it apart and you find this the treasure. Why did Hashem bring it about in such a strange way? V'kasha ma besura hizo. Right, like Rashi says, this is a besura to Klal Yisrael, something good. Uperish Rashi, what's the besura? What's the good news? What's the simcha of this announcement? Kisavo, v'nasati nega, what an excitement. Perish Rashi. Sheitminu k'nanim v'chulu. That the k'nanim hid their treasures in the walls, and the Jewish people take apart their houses, and they find the treasures. V'kasha. Hashem, what? Hashem needs to do things in such a funny way. Why did Hashem put this wild idea in the heads and the minds of the Canaanim that they should take their treasures and hide in their home? They're going to kick out of the land. So what? They thought they were hopeful. Maybe hundreds of years later, they're going to come back. Didn't they know that when Jews buy up the neighborhood, they always do construction on their houses? Didn't they realize the Jews are going to find the? That's always how it is, right? So what was this strange idea? The Jews are going to find the treasures, they're buried in the wall, you're going to destroy the house, you'll find the treasure. Very, very strange. The fact that a Jewish home can be makabel a nega, the fact that the wall of a person's house can receive a nega, tells us a lot about a Jewish home. And the inyan of a Jewish home, we'll see, is very important this time of the year when we talk about Pesach, when we talk about cleaning our homes. And cleaning our homes means cleaning our lives, but it also means cleaning our homes. Klal Yisrael have the ability to bring Kedusha not only into their lives, into their existence as individuals, as human beings, but into their homes, to create a makom of Kedusha, to create an environment of Kedusha. Like the Pasuk describes, last night we quoted the Zohar. The Zohar says, Leis Nahora, there can be no light except that which emanates out of darkness. The irony of, right, of the Pasuk. Think about the Pasuk in the context of what Svasemis is telling us. When the Pasuk says that the Mitzvah were dwelling in the dark, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael, and for the Jewish people, there was Or b'Moshe Vosam. Or Moshe Vosayim. Right, there was light in their dwelling places. What does that mean? It means the inyan of a dwelling place, the inyan of a home, can be seen as something just mundane, necessity, somewhere to sleep, somewhere to eat, or can be seen as an extension of a makom of Kedusha. And that was the Chiddush. The fact that the walls of the home can be makabel tzaras, lera. So imagine, what can the walls of the home be, letov? Creating a home, creating a bayis. What can that mean? The idea of such a thing. V'yesh limol kal v'chomer. So if such negativity, if tzaras, if the tum of tzaras can attach itself to a wall, so kal v'chomer, the reverse. The Pasuk says in Habakkuk, Even mikir tizak, v'chafis me'et ya'anena. The stones and the wood of one's home is going to testify. Ya'anena will answer, will respond. Al-achet shakoras beso shal adam me'idin. The Gemara says in Maseches Tanis and Dafir Aleph, again in Chagiga Tazayin, that the walls of a person's home testify for who he is. The way I live in my house, Not just the way that I act in public, but the way I act in the privacy of my own home. Mikol shekein mida tova meruva. Says the Sfas Emes. If the walls can be makabel tzaras, if the walls can be negative, if the walls can be a makum of tuma, so we know mida tova meruva. Mida tova is always better. That means the potential for the walls to have so much positive energy in them is obviously that much greater. Shatzadik tzarech lehevi hargoshas kedusha b'chol hashayech elov v'gam betzomeach v'domim. That's a huge topic. We could do a whole shiur on that topic. The idea that a tzaddik is able to inject life, that he brings kedusha even into inanimate objects. That's what Shabbos is. On Shabbos, the whole idea of Shabbos is to create a kedusha in the bayis, that the walls of the home, that's what I'm saying, should be able to feel Shabbos. Did we ever tell that maisa with the Baal Shem Tov that the Beis Aaron brings? When the Baal Shem Tov was having, Baal Shem Tov was set up in a field, Beis Aaron of Perlin, he brings a maisa. It's in Parshas Bo or B'Shalach. I think it's in Bo. He brings a maisa that the Baal Shem Tov was once traveling, and he was stuck in a field, and he had nowhere to really make Shabbos, so he set it, built himself a little Erev. He set up shop in this field. There were animals roaming around, and the Baal Shem Tov began to sing Kabbalah Shabbos, and the animals stood up on their back legs. The animals stopped walking around on all fours, they stood up on two legs. They started walking around like human beings. Why? Because Baal Shem Tov created, and Avirai created a makom of Kedusha. Right? And that's what it means when we say about Shabbos. That Shabbos is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for your animals, and it's for your home. It means that a person can create a spiritual aura, a spiritual environment, that everything gets lifted up. That domim gets lifted up, that tzomeach gets lifted up. The flowers that you have on your table for Shabbos are different flowers than the flowers that you bought during the week just to decorate your home. B'nei B'nei Yisrael, kein osu shotziu eretz kanan miyara tuma v'ichnisua b'kedusha shekishenikra eretz Yisrael hishra avor yisbarach shkinasa b'beis ha-mikdash. The Jewish people turned eretz kanan into eretz Yisrael. They turned it into from a place of tuma to a place of ashras ha-shchina and a makom of the beis ha-mikdash. I had a Rebbe in high school who was very particular about this. You meet people like this. And they're very like not into calling Israel, Israel. Call it Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because it's a different thing. There's a sense of Kedusha. There's a different sense of Kedusha when you call it Eretz Yisrael. When you call it Yerushalayim as opposed to Jerusalem. It's a different thing. It's just a translation. What's the difference? It's a different thing. Right? You can have the same physical land, and it could be known as Eretz Canaan, or it could be transformed into Eretz Yisrael. And this is what the Torah says, with all of your money, with all of your possessions, with everything you interact with, injected with Kedusha, to bring into the Gashmias Kedusha, that the walls of our home should be a Makom Kadosh, should be an extension of the Makom HaMikdash. And because of the potential of the home, there's a potential for tzaras in the home. That's a big bracha. It's a big, the fact that the home can receive tzaras says that Hashem is declaring, you can do better. Your house can be better. The types of things you have in your home could be holier. V'zosa b'sura tova, sheyuchlu atakein kol amakomos gamke, to be able to lift up any place that a Jew finds himself. B'chol makom, v'hu be'emes matmonios, and that really is more than just the money that they found in their walls. What did they really find in their walls? What did they recognize through the tumah that they saw in their world? What was the treasure inside? The treasure is, wow, we never realized that even our inanimate objects are chashuv in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That everything is filled with holy sparks. Shebechol davar agashi biyoser. Even physical things. Mutman bo nitzotze kedusha biyoser. It's filled with holy sparks, an opportunity to elevate the things of this world. What about the pashup shot, says Sfas Emes, concluding the piece. Begam lefi pshuto, and this is also very important. We're not going to focus on this point as much, but let's not lose this piece from the Sfas Emes because it's big. Begam lefi pshuto hayin nisayon gadol listor kol abinyan al yedei shechafet isha yisraelios shora kedusha v'tahar b'makomo. What, you think it's easy for them to knock down a home? Again, we picture this in a silly kind of way. Picture like taking your part of your whole house. If tzaras in the world, you have to take apart the entire house. You realize what mesiras nefesh that was. Uve emes isa ki matmonios matu kidei shelo yim nefsad de mesiras abinyan. And yet it was a mesiras nefesh for Klal Yisrael to deconstruct. What's wrong with this house? A nice house. What's wrong with some of them? Lived in it a little bit. Okay, so we'll come to this house and we'll start filling it with Kedusha. Hashem says, no, take apart the house, build yourself something fresh. That old house, you can't just try to fix it up. Take it apart. And I'll give you the money, I'll give you the financial means to be able to do so. But you have to have the courage to first take it apart. And that's very important, Yisod, in life. To take apart a certain binyan that we have for ourselves to be able to build something better in its place. Nu, we have this chus of going to Yeshiva Sarvina Yitzchak Al-Khanan, Baruch Hashem. Someone asked me last night, some guy just got back from KBY. So he says to me, Nu, how's Rav Spector's? Yeah. It's Rav Spector's. I didn't know what he was talking about. He's like, why are you Rav Spector's? Yitzchak Al-Khanan Spector. Okay, Respecters. I don't even know the history of why he's 100 years. 100 plus years, I don't call them Respecters. But he just got back from KBY, so I know, you know, can't say why, I say Respecters. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the author of the Har Tzvi, on Chomish, Shas and Chuvos, they also put out a little sefer called the Shvive Or. Very nice little sefer, a little inyan in different topics. So he writes there on page 82 in the top right corner, he quotes from Rav Yisrael Chanan Spector, our Rosh Yeshiva. Right, our namesake. Chorus based on Adam Eidim Alam. Again, back to that Gemara in Maseches Tanis Daf Yud Aleph, that the walls of one's home testify. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, Avne based on Shal Adam Bekorus based on Eidim Bo. The Gemara Tanis tells us that the walls, the stones of your home, the planks of your floor are going to testify against you. Hagod Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Zatzal HaYomer. Dakavanei. What does it mean? The walls are going to testify. Forget the things that are in our home. We'll talk about that in a minute. Just the walls themselves. The type of house you build for yourself says a lot about the type of person you are. Am I happy living like the Chafetz Chaim in a small, simplistic home? Okay, in a chanam, we have to update for our world today. There are certain basic things, like Rav Weinberger was saying in the Baal Shem Tov Shir, that it's considered normal for a person to have, and it's okay. It doesn't mean you're like a money-hungry individual if you live with certain basic necessities, which once upon a time would have been considered a luxury, but today it's a necessity. Right? You don't have to live like the Chafetz Chaim with one little broken chair and a wobbly wooden table. But at the same time, how much money am I putting into my physical house? And how much am I focused on building my house in the world to come? Says Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, Dakavanehi, Shekoros Beso Ksalav Me'idim Alav B'mahaya Shakua B'yamei Chayav. Your walls are going to testify. What are you osek in? How does the wall testify? How do my walls testify to the type of person I am? You know how? If a person builds himself a big palace, he always wants nicer this, nicer that, that his home should be more and more and more gashmi. Or does my home testify to the fact that, you know what? This person's home is not necessarily a place of luxury. Because he's focused on something beyond this world. Therefore, the way that we build our homes is going to testify to the type of person we are. But more than that, the things we bring into our home, the possessions that we have within the walls, not only the walls themselves, how big is our house? Again, if a person's of means, and you should live comfortably, Hashem, you should all be zocha, and one should, God forbid, live in poverty. But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, do I really need this? Am I getting too caught up in the bias of this world? When this world is really just a corridor to the world to come? So there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Shimon ben Shetach says, it's in Parak Aleph, Shimon ben Shetach says, check the witnesses thoroughly. Shimon ben Shetach, we know, the Gemara tells us, Shimon ben Shetach and his counterpart in this Mishnah, got themselves into a bit of trouble. Shimon ben Shetach specifically got himself into trouble. Yehuda ben Tabai, Shimon ben Shetach, he wasn't so careful, and he ended up killing someone innocent, according to, again, his counterpart, Yehuda ben Tabai. So Shimon ben Shetach learned his lesson, and he said, Havimar belachor seidim. Pashup shat, a dayan, a court, has to check the witnesses very, very carefully. I'm sorry, Yehuda ben Tabai was the one who didn't check, and Shimon ben Shetach rebuked him and said, make sure that you check carefully. The Gemara Makos Tafei, Avi, Makos Tafei, a little mice over there. Yeah. So Shimon ben Shetach is the one who's reminding us, look at the danger of a person who doesn't check the witnesses carefully. But they say, in Svarim, this is based on a teaching from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the English Pirkei Avos and the Lubavitcher Rebbe, in the Path of Our Fathers, he says in the second paragraph on the page, there's also a homiletic dimension to this teaching. Our sages say, what does it mean, check the witnesses carefully? It's that Gemara in Maseches Tanis. Who's going to testify against you? The walls of our home. The walls of a person's house testify regarding his character. On the most simple level, it is possible to examine the witnesses and determine a person's character by studying the walls of his house. Which books, whose pictures, and which art do they feature? build a home. You have to ask yourself, what do I want my home to look like? What do I want my walls to display? What type of reading material is going to be found in my home? What type of pictures, right, are going to be on display? The person has to think very carefully about this. Check the witnesses carefully, thoroughly. Have a marble lachor as aidim. Make sure that the witnesses that will testify against us or testify for us will be of a fine character. In the Hakdama to the Pnei Yoshua tells the story of why he decided to write the Sefer Pnei Yoshua. Why did the Pnei Yoshua write the Pnei Yoshua? It's a magnificent achron. What inspired him? He was obviously a very learned individual, but what inspired him to write the Sefer Pnei Yoshua? So he tells the story himself in his parish, in his Hakdama, in the introduction to the Pnei Yoshua. It's Gavali, you have to read it inside. I didn't have a chance to photocopy it. But the Pnei Yoshua tells a story of an earthquake. There was some type of tremor in the earth, and the walls of the room that he was sitting in collapsed, his home collapsed, and he was trapped beneath the rubble. And his life was in danger. It was mamish sakanas nefashos. That's what he writes in the introduction. And the Pnei Yoshua says he decided at that moment that if Hashem's going to save him, he declared, Hashem, if you get me out of this mess, then I'm going to write you the Pnei Yoshua. I'm going to write a sefer for you. If you save my life. It was not pashut that he was going to survive. He was mamash buried beneath the walls. In this week's parsha, Aleinu L'Shabeach, I saw that Rav Zilberstein brings a little hosafa to this story. Again, he tells the story, the kitzur of the Pnei Yoshua, the promise that he made. But Rav Zilberstein writes in the left-hand column, in the second paragraph, V'shamati b'shem hagri Kalmanovich. I heard from Rav Kalmanovich, Shehiz b'rasa inyan kach. What can we learn from the story of the Pnei Yoshua? What can we reflect when we read the story of the Pnei Yoshua? What was that commitment? Why did the Pnei Yoshua come to the realization buried beneath the rubble that he could be writing a sefer for Hashem, a magnificent work called the Pnei Yoshua? Explained Rav Kalmanovich, HaPnei Yoshua, Biraoso Shekosle Beislo Nafolav. When this tzaddik saw that the walls of his home were testifying against him, that the walls of his home were attacking him, Nizkar miyad b'divrei Chazal. He remembered that Chazal that Tzvasemis introduced us to. The Chazal that says that what? That the walls of a person's home were going to testify. Shamru shakoros beisul sha'adam ha'idin alav. The Gemara in Tanis Yud Aleph. Chagigat ha'zayin. V'imkach harei ma shakara atahu. Sha'akiros me'idin alav. The walls have attacked me. The walls have testified against me. You know the mice of the Shagasari. The Shagasari died under a bookcase also. The Shagasari was by a bookshelf that collapsed on top of him, and he was killed. He wasn't a young person. He was crushed, right? He was crushed, not instantly, but the impact of the bookcase that fell over on him ended up taking his life. The Shagasari. And the story goes that the Shagasari said, from beneath the pile, he said, all of the Swami, the Shagasari wasn't scared to offer his opinion on things. He felt that he was entitled to an opinion, and he would challenge, earlier authorities. And he felt that this was his punishment for not showing enough respect for the opinions of the earlier Talmidei Chacham and Tzaddikim and Poskim of the generations. The Shagasari felt that they were all teaming up against him, and they jumped him, they attacked him, and that's how, in fact, he lost his life in the end. Pnei Yeshua Baruch Hashem made it out. So as he was lying there under the pile, and he thought to himself, my walls are testifying against me, why are the walls of my home crumbling? Apparently my home is saying to me, this is not the home you should be building. Let's take apart this home, like Sassam has said, and find the treasure inside. Let's build a better home. So Pnei Yoshua said to himself, it must be that I have to commit myself more. And I'm prepared to make that commitment right now. That he was inspired beneath the rubble. He was reminded. Again, this is conjecture. It's not, he didn't say this himself, but Rav Kalmanovich says that the Pnei Yeshua must have been thinking of this Gemara. He asked himself, are the walls of my home going to be a source of merit for me? Or God forbid, do the walls of my home not say enough about me? Are the walls of my home demanding of me? Pnei Yeshua felt the walls of his home were demanding of him to live a more lofty existence, to dedicate himself more seriously to Torah. When we think about Pesach, the Pesach night, we think about Klal Yisrael gathering in their homes. We know that for Banachas Bechoras, the Torah is very clear. The Jews were not allowed to leave their homes. They were under house arrest. But that was a good thing. And the Jewish people should understand the inyan of the homes. It's very interesting. You think about Pesach, Matzah, Maror. So Matzah I understand. Maror I understand. Pesach, I don't understand. I don't understand Pesach. And neither did Rav Yaakov Milisa. Rabbi Yaakov Melisa writes in the Sagada Maisa Nisim, it's quoted here in the Sefer Shari Leil HaSeder, on page 217, in the second paragraph from the bottom, and the famous Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel said, anyone who doesn't say Pesach Matzu Marer has not fulfilled his obligation. Rabbi Yitzchak will learn the Mishnah. And he brings psukim to support each one. So matzah, I understand, the bread didn't have time to rise. And maror, I understand, the maror is chayim. What's Pesach? Look what he says. The Mishnah zu heir ha-maisa nisim, Rav Yaakov Melisa, Rav Yaakov Loberbaum, Melisa, the Nesivos, the maisa nisim. So he writes the following. Bishlama kisha omir matzah zo al-shema al-shoma. I understand the question of what's matzah about. B'b'neisha etzav ha-matzah mor al-gula. When you eat this matzah, this matzah is a reminder of what? Of the experience. The matzah itself testifies to that. Sha matzah mara al shalo hispik matzekan shalavaseinu lahachmetz. The Jews left Mitzrayim before their bread could rise. The mara, I understand the mara. The mara testifies, and the experience of eating the mara testifies to vayamar v'schayayim. Aval kesha ochlim karban pesach. But when we eat the karban pesach, lechora etzim haseh eino mora klal al inyan pesach. Had is sitting here, eating this meat, testified to the Inyan of Pesach. What was the Inyan of Pesach? Shashem is Baruch Pesach al Bate b'nei Yisrael. Elafisha Karban nekra Pesach mishum kein yesh lo shayichas l'diluk. Since the Karban is called Pesach, it has a shayichas in the fact that Hashem passed over our house. So somehow eating this Karban Pesach is a reminder that Hashem passed over our homes. V'im kein nimsa sheyesh chilek gadol in Pesach l'matzamar. But the bottom line is, Pesach, matzamar, matzah, I understand. Mara is a Pesach with Pesach. How is this an integral part of the experience? And how does Achilas Karban Pesach tie into it? What are we commemorating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Pesach HaBatei HaVaseinu? What's the experience? What are we supposed to tap into while we're eating the Karban Pesach? So he says a beautiful thing. We know the klal from Rav Tzadok, from the Vilna Gaon, from other tzaddikim, that the first time a concept appears in the Torah, that's the shoresh of that idea. What's the new idea that's created in these psukim surrounding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bouncing around Mitzrayim, jumping over one house to the next? V'nei b'pasuk sh'meivir ben Gamliel achilas ha-pesach. Ne'amar sham, v'amartem zevach pesach hu la'ashem. Asher pasach al-batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. V'nagfoes Mitzrayim es batenu yitzil. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was striking down the Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was passing over the batei b'nei Yisrael. We know the Kadmonim tell us the following klal. When something's written in the Torah numerous times, but pasuk bo nichtav adavar l'rishona shamu shorish v'yisod adavar, in the place where it first appears, that is the essence of that idea. So says Rav Schlesinger, the author of the Shari Leil HaSeder, v'shamati hezber. This is the first time we're introduced to a certain Torah concept. The first time a concept is introduced. Is this the first time we're hearing about B'nai Yisrael? No. Is this the first time we're hearing about Yisrael? No. What are we hearing about for the first time? In the Pasuk of Pesach? Anyone who doesn't say Pesach, Matzumar, what is Pesach? The essence of it? The secret, the backbone of Klal Yisrael. The strength of Klal Yisrael is contained in these three magical words. What are they? The Chiddush of Pesach is the introduction of the concept of the Jewish home. That there's a requirement that a Jewish home has to be a certain way. That we have to get down on our hands and knees and search out every bit of chametz in our home. Have a marva lachor se'edim. Check the walls carefully. Check the magazines carefully. Check the svarim carefully. I once wanted to say as a joke, have a marva lachor se'edim. You know, sometimes you walk into someone's house and you see they've got like, you know, very nice farm that they got either for the bar mitzvah, maybe when they got married, right? And you go over and you pick up like Maseches Menachos off the shelf, you crack it open and like you hear the binding crack. Right? So it's very nice wallpaper. It's better than having, you know, pictures of whatever on the wall. Right? It's a nice thing. It's a nice way to line one's home. Our bookcases should be lined with beautiful svarim. But I remember I was in Rabbi Michael Bash's home for his son's upshare. And I was looking at the svarim. Baruch Shem, his svarim reads. It's not, God forbid. It's not what brought me to that. I was just looking around and I said, wow, it's like amazing. The whole room is like lined, you know, with svarim. And I thought to myself, that's Pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Have a marba lachor se'edim. Right? The walls of my home testify to a person. So you'll say, what do you mean? I have beautiful things in my home. My house is lined with svarim. Yeah, but the svarim are going to testify against you. That how come no one ever learned me? How come this set was untouched for years and years and years? Says the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, says Shulam HaChetach, have a marba lachkor seidim. Make sure that you investigate the eidim. Meaning what? Spend some time actually reading the books on the shelf. Spend time learning the svar. Actually use them. But this is the chiddush of Bate B'nai Yisrael, says Rav Schlesinger. I heard, says Rav Schlesinger, that the first time we're introduced to the concept of the Jewish home, v'umusag chadasha dayin lo nisparish b'torah, a new concept, a Jewish home. Have a marba lachkor seidim. Check your walls. Make sure there's no chametz in your home. Shall the pasuk zeh nemar kama pam Yisrael ubnei Yisrael? You don't have the next page. I'm just going to read it to you. I had a little rachmanis on the trees. I'll just read you one more line on page Reish Ches. This is not the first time we're hearing about Yisrael or bnei Yisrael. Achin kan nischadish hamusag and the name bate bnei Yisrael. The concept of bate bnei Yisrael is being introduced. Therefore, we need to spend time thinking and understanding the bias of a Jewish person. What a Jewish home is supposed to be. A Jewish home is an extension of the Beis Hamikdash. When a person goes a Lila Rega, the Avoda is not only coming to the Beis Hamikdash, the Avoda is going home after you come to the Beis Hamikdash. And taking Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash back to your home. That there should be a Shpa in your home emanating directly out of the Beis Hamikdash. We learned a little bit about this when we learned Mesechus Yoma. If you learn Mishnayos Tamid, you learn a little more about this. Let me just understand some of the basic principles of how karbanos were offered. There's a concept that the doors of the Heichal have to be open b'shas shchitas karban tam. A mashal. A mashal we learn in Mesechus Tamid, in the fourth parak, the slaughtering of the karban tamid. Right, so the doors have to be open. The third parak, the fourth parak, it describes how they get the Beis HaMikdash ready, how they get the Heichal ready. They go around through the back, through the top, through the backwards back chamber, and they enter from behind, they open up the locks, and they swing open the doors, and you can see from the northern area where the rings are, the Shechita rings, where the Karban Tam is going to be shechted, it lines up, you're able to see the Shochet, whoever has the Schus, who won the lottery to shecht, can see into the Heichal. Why do the doors of the Heichal need to be open? So writes Rav Radinsky, Rav Tzal Radinsky Shlita from Muncie, whose big Siyam HaShas is coming up. He's on Rav Chaim Kanievsky's schedule. He makes a Siyam HaShas Bavli Yerushalmi every single year. It's pretty unbelievable. Rav Radinsky. He's spoken in our yeshiva before, if you remember. Is that us? Is that me, yeah? Rav Radinsky. Shlita. Okay. You going to the Siyam HaShas? You should go. I would go if I could. I think it's next Thursday. He writes this in Parshas Vayikra, in his volume Mishkan Betzal and Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, page 20. He says, "Chashavti levar b'derech hamachshava, v'shitzarich la'avin kol ikar kach dina. Why is it the karbanos rishim psichas dalsos aichal ma'atam b'mitzvazo? Why do the doors of the heichal need to be open b'shas the shechita of the karban by the preparation of the karban? V'anir lower b'derech efsher." Says Rabbi Radinsky b'derech efsher. He's being humble. It's a very beautiful idea, but he says it as a possibility. Shetamud kan yisod nifla shekvar biaru lanu chazal b'chalonos beis hamikdash shahayu atumin. What do we know about the windows of the beis hamikdash? How do they function? What do they mean? They were atumin. Klomar chalonos hamikdash hayu rechava mibachot uktzar mibefnim. It was as if like a funnel. Right? A funnel. You have the small side, you have the skinny side, and you have the wide side. In the windows of the Beis HaMikdash, they were small on the inside and wide on the outside. As if to say that what? That the light emanating from the Beis HaMikdash should shine outwards, expanding outwards towards the world. Klomar, Chalonos HaMikdash Hayu Rechav Mibachot Uktzar Mibefnim. Lehefech Midarach HaShem Bnei Adam. Normally we want to go in the opposite direction. Normally we want to take in the light and then expand it, that it should be brought in. We want that the light should have more room to disperse as it enters into our homes, into our physical homes. How do Chazal explain the backwards windows of the Beis HaMikdash? Hashem doesn't need light from the outside. Beis HaMikdash doesn't need the natural sunlight. So if Hashem doesn't need light, so why have windows at all? Why did the Beis HaMikdash just not have windows? Why put in a window that doesn't actually give off light? So we know the answer to the question, like we just said. Like the Medrash says, The chalonos shahayu beis hamikdash behem haya or yotzei la'olam. The windows of the beis hamikdash were the windows out into the world. The light of the mikdash, we need a window not because we're bringing in light, but because the mikdash should be a place that's giving off light. And where does that light go? Says Aradinsky in the top of Chaf Aleph, Vabir Yira. The point of the mikdash is that what? It should radiate to the entire universe. Zosomeris, kasher adam nichnas lebeis hamikdash. When you come to mikdash and you bring your karbanos there, hatachlis anirta eino etzem avoda. The point is not the bringing of the karban by the base of mikdash. When we come aliyah l'regel, the point is not the aliyah l'regel. It's what? Elamashe yatzem in avoda. It's what comes out from that avoda. It's how I'm a different person after experiencing the mikdash, and I bring that experience of what a holy house can look like, I bring that back to my home. V'davar zedomu l'masha darshu chazal b'secha sukkah on the pasuk isru chag. Kol ha'osa isru l'chag ba'achila v'shtia ma'alav ha'kosev ki'ilu banam izbeach v'hikr v'lav karban. Klomar ha'pol yotze me'achag rotzo yoser afilu me'etzim ha'chag. What emerges from the chag is more important than the chag itself. That's what we take away from the mikdash. The goal of the windows is to remind us that the light of the mikdash should emanate outwards. Based on this, now we understand why the doors of the mikdash have to be open, b'shas, the bringing of the karba. The goal is that when a person comes to the mikdash and he spends time there, He has to absorb the process. The Chashavti B'derach Efshar, says Rabbi Dinsky in the last paragraph, Shelakach B'parshas R'eg, when it describes the Indian of Aliyah L'Regel, we have to learn about it because we're not Zochah to do it. Yesh Chovash Alina, there's an obligation to what? To sleep over, to spend the night. Ufanisa B'boker V'halachta L'olecha. Sleep over and then the next morning, go back. Pasuk Dafka commands you, go home, go back to your house. You need time to absorb the lesson of the mikdash. Spend the night by the mikdash. Stay here in Yerushalayim. Absorb the light of the mikdash. So much so that when you come back, your house is a different house. It's no longer my bayis. It's in all arai. It's nothing compared to the mikdash. Because I've taken a little bit, a glimpse of the mikdash, I'm trying to bring that back into my home. But that home that I thought was its own thing, I don't want it to be its own thing anymore. I want it to be an extension, a tent, an extension of the makom mikdash itself. Like Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Zvektor said, I come home from the mikdash and I have a different perspective of what my home can be and should be. The Torah promises that the chiddush of the Torah, everyone's going to go on the aliyah l'regel and abandon their home, so why don't the goyim come and just steal every Jew's home? Hashem gave a promise that it's not going to happen, that no one's going to desire your home. Why? By the time you get back, your house is called an oel. He comes home with a different light, a totally different. It's not even called a bias anymore. It's called an oel. The ikar is what? What we take away from the mikdash. For lachain, concludes Aradinsky, the doors have to be open out onto the world to remind us that the karban, the experience of the karban, is not so much about giving in. It's about that the mikdash wants to give you something to take it out. I'll just conclude with the words of the Bardichever. In the Sefer Pisgam and Kedishim, which is a likud, a collection of different tzaddikim from throughout the generations. And it's really the hope that every one of us should have on the Seder night. To mamish go from sitting around wherever we're spending the Seder, with family, without family, wherever we are, whatever bias we find ourselves in. We know by Gan Pesach, you have to be part of one chabur. You couldn't move around from one house to the next. Wherever you are, to look at the place that you are as a place of Kedusha, a makom kadosh, to take pride in that, and to try to continue this process of developing our homes, that they should be beautiful, beautiful places of Ashras Ashkina. The Bardichever writes, or is quoted here in Os Chaf Aleph, explaining the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says, "Vihi beischa beisvad lechachamim." Your home should be a meeting place for chachamim. Says the Bardichever, a beautiful thing. Kinei asidin bati Yisrael sheyelchu l'eret Yisrael bizman bias mishicheinu b'mer b'yameinu amen. That's already a mega chiddush. We know the Gemara in Megillah Daf Chav Tes that says what? That in the future Asid, but the Knesios Ubat the Midrashos Shebabel, the houses of Torah, the houses of Tefillah, of Chutzlaretz are going to be what? Are going to be brought down to Israel. But the Berditcher were saying a big chiddush here. The Berditcher were saying, no, every single Jewish home in Galus, your home mamish, if it's a home of Kedusha, will be picked up and will be brought to Eretz Yisrael. I guess the Berditcher was predicting, I guess, you know, I get in Brooklyn, everyone's home is like a little shtiebel in the basement. So I guess your home is really, you know, Bas Knesset. So Chutzlaretz are going to come to everyone's home. It's a Bas Knesset. Every house is a Bas Knesset. But I don't think that's what he's really saying. I think what he's really saying is that the Jewish home has the ability to be mishtatev to that promise from Megillah Daf Chav Tes, that the home can be transported to Eretz Yisrael. V'hu kal v'chomer mebat the Knesset. Look what he says, so strong. It's a kal v'chomer. If a shul can go, then your house all the more so can go. Really? My house? How does my house compare to the shul? The shul is used for Torah, for tefillah, for celebrations of Yiddishkeit. What does that do with my home? My home, we watch TV, we watch movies, we read magazines. Right? My home's not as kadosh as the shul. So it says the Berditch, Kal v'chomer mebat the Knesset. Uma bat the Knesset. What was that word? It's a rough print here. Uma bat the Knesset. Shes something rak l'kriya shma l'tfila. Sha'osim? Sha'osim rak l'kriya shma l'tfila. V'tfila hu mitzvah d'rabbanan. And kriya shma itself, believe it or not, if you forgot, there is a discussion in Brachos Yom Aleph, Yom Beis, whether or not kriya shma itself is the rice of d'rabbanan. And those, and the shul, which is a place of mitzvah d'rabbanan, more or less, right? It's going to eventually go to Eretz Yisrael. So, but the Yisrael, sheish b'am harbe mitzvah d'araisa. Think about how many mitzvahs d'araisa you do in your home. And you understand the Kal v'chomer. You go in mezuzah, every time you say birchas hamazon, the Torah that you learn, the tzedakah, the checks that you write when people come collecting, v'harbe kiyotzeben, so many mitzvahs, alachas kama v'kama, sheyizku lalos l'Eretz Yisrael. Halavai, every home should be zochet to come to Eretz Yisrael. Amnama emesu, ezehu batim yalu l'Eretz Yisrael. But yet, what home says the Berditcher is going to be zochet to this? Osan batim shiyasku behem b'mitzvos Hashem Yisparach and Yisrael. Dafka, those homes that are filled with mitzvos. And the Mar Belachar Seidim says the Sfas Emes, there's a Besura Tova. When there's saras in your home, there's an opportunity to take apart your home and to build something more beautiful there. And that's what we have to do, like we learned last week in Sfas Emes. Right? To be poshet tzura v'lovesh tzura. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tzar tzura v'sol tzura. I have a nice picture of what my home could be. How can I take my home to the next level? How can I be a greater Kedusha Sabayas for myself, for my family? But those people, Rahman al-Litzan, who don't do it in the privacy of their home, they live a life of Hefkeris. They don't check their mezuzah to keep it kosher. And they don't give tzedakah when people show up at their door. So the walls of their home are rotting, are spiritually rotting. Such a home, says the Berditchever, will not be zocha to be part of that transport to Eretz Yisrael. If it wasn't a source of pride in Chutzlaretz, it's not going to Eretz Yisrael. And if you'll say, who am I, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, who am I to add on to what Chazal said? The Halakha Berditchever, for us, the Berditchever is Kodesh Kadashim. But for himself, compared to Chazal, he says, who am I to add? Chazal didn't say this. Chazal always said the shuls and the base medrash. But the medrash. Hainu ha-perish hu b'divrayim zal. Sha'afilu b'te knesios. Yelchul Eretz Yisrael. V'hu zov ein tzarech lomer zov. The way the Chazal say it is, even the b'te knesios, even this, what's the more obvious thing that's going to go? Your house. Ki abatim vada yelchul Eretz Yisrael. I read the Lashon, he says, of the Gemara carefully, Masechus Megillah, and you'll see that what I'm saying is correct. And he concludes by taking us back to the Mishnah Perkei Avos. Yebeischa beis vad l'chachamim. Let your home be the type of home where the Chachamim spend time. Yes, obviously Chachamim, Mamish, the physical Chachamim. If a tzaddik is balayir, you should invite him to your home. You should host him in your home. That's certainly true. But more than that, says the Berditchever, he beischa, hainu beischa, yeshava mamish kamo beis vad. Your bias should be no less than the beis vad v'chachamim. Your home should be the best. Your the Iker Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash that you spend more time in than anything else. The Beis Medrash you eat in and you sleep in. Which means that that's your main Beis Medrash. Right? The halachas are clear in Shulchan Aruch. You can't eat and sleep in a Beis Medrash unless what? Unless you're Torah Sura Mnasa. Unless that's your main Beis Medrash. That's why you're allowed to sleep in your house. You're allowed to eat in your house. That's your main Beis Medrash. Hainu kamo Beis HaKnesses. Shenikra Beis Vad. Beis Moed Shal Hashem Yisparach. Kvashakosa B'shas. Umefarish v'holich is abatim yushavin mamish l'bat the knessios. It should be mamish equal to the base knessios of the chachamim. Hainu osad abatim sheba alayin him chachamim v'yari Hashem umekayim behem mitzvos of Yisparach Shemo v'hamusar muvan. And hopefully this is well understood. The Reditcher says this is what we tell a person. You should build a bias neman b'Yisrael. Your bias should be neman. It should be a trustworthy home. That it will be zocha to be an extension of Eretz Yisrael. Your bias neman be Yisrael. Your home. I don't care if you're living in Washington Heights. I don't care if you're living in wherever you're living. Danny, where are you going? Columbus. I don't care if you're living in Cleveland. I don't care if you're living in Atlanta. I don't care if you're living in Los Angeles. I don't care if you're living in Zimbabwe. Hashem says, your bias neman be Yisrael. Your home should be an extension of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It should be the type of home that's going to be zocha to be transported to Eretz Yisrael. I'll just end, Mamish end, with the Gemara and Moed Katan. We started by saying that a home could have tzaras. And yet there's a Mesura Tova. When the home has tzaras, there's a bracha in disguise. So we'll end with a bracha in disguise. End with a bracha in disguise. A bracha for ourselves. Gemara tells a story. One of the Tanayim sent his son after two other Tanayim to get a bracha. And they were talking and learning. And they noticed that this young man was trailing behind them, Moed Katan Daf Tesam and Beis. And they said to him, Amrle, my boy is Hacha. What are you doing here? Why are you following us? Amrle, so he said to these holy tzaddikim, Da Amrle Abba Zilga Bayhu Delivar Chuch. My father said I should come to you to get a bracha. Amrle, so they said to him, you want a bracha? We'll give you a bracha. Yehe Rava Yehi Ratzo. De Tiz Rava Lo Techzar. You should plant and you should not reap. Ta'ayo v'lo tepak. Tepak v'lo te'ayo. You should invest and have no returns. And your returns should not lead to further investments. Le'charev beischa. Your home should be destroyed. Your home should be destroyed. V'leisov u'shpischa. Le'balbel p'torecha. And your guests should come and they should wreck your place. V'lo techse shata chadasa. And you should not be zocha to see a new year. So he burst into tears and he ran home crying to his father. These horrible people. What kind of curse is this? Kiyasa legabe avua, he came to his father. Amrle lo mi bay debruche lo birchan elature tzaran. Not only did they not bless me, but they cursed me out. Horrible individuals. You said these were tzaddikim. Amrle my amrlach. So he said, tell me, my son, what did they say to you? Hachi vachi amrle. So he repeated the whole thing. The Marsha says that's why they did it like this. They wanted to make so much bracha for him that they said it, and they knew he would go home and have to repeat it, and then his father would have to darshan it, and it would manage to be a riboy of bracha. It was just misunderstood the first time. It was saras in the wall, and he said, "What saras in the wall? Hashem must hate me. Take apart the wall. You'll see there's a present inside. There's a treasure on the inside." So his father says to him, "The whole thing's a bracha. You just have to understand how to learn it." Amrle hana chula bircha saninu. This is mamish a bracha. You know what tizra v'lo techzan means? You should plant, and you should not reap. Tolid banim v'lo yamusu. You should plant. You should have children, and you shouldn't need to dig up the ground to bury them. Rachmana Litzlan, your children shouldn't die in your lifetime. Ta'ayel v'lo tepak, ta'ayel kalasa v'lo limesu bincha delifkon. You should take in daughters-in-law, and your sons shouldn't die that the daughters-in-law have to go back out. You should take in and not get out. Again, he thought it meant I'm going to buy up all this product and not be able to sell it. It means you should bring in new members. You should bring in daughters-in-law into your home and not have to send them out if, God forbid, your son passes away. Tepak v'lo te'ayel, the reverse. Tolid binsa, you should marry off your daughters and send them out. V'lo yamusu guvrayu l'hadru l'vaseich. And their husbands shouldn't die, that your daughters have to come home. Nebuch as almanus. Lecharev beischa, your home should be ruined. V'leisov u'shpischa, and you should be overrun by guests. What does it mean? The high amla u'shpischa. This world is u'shpischa. This world is just a transitory world. It's not the main thing. V'ahu alma beisa, and the real bias that we're building, bunsa beisa, like it says in Mishlei, is the home of our future. When we go to the kever, that's when we first enter our home. Your table should be a wreck. The guests should be overrunning your home. Your bilbul in your table. With sons and daughters. Your home should be so filled with kids and grandkids. And for all the cleaning you did before Pesach, your home should be bursting with family members. And you shouldn't see a new year. Your wife shouldn't die, and you shouldn't have to, God forbid, remarry. So, Mir Tashem, we should all be Zocha. We should be Zocha that our homes should mamish be, should be broken in this way. We should be Zocha to break down the walls of our home, to try to build healthier homes, more holy homes, homes that are filled with Kedusha, to recognize that there's a tremendous treasure buried inside each and every one of our homes. And Mir Tashem, we should be Zocha to uncover that. And when we do that, then we'll build a bayis nema b'Yisrael and b'zocha to actually return to Eretz Yisrael with the binyan b'Yisrael HaMikdash.